the dark corners of American suburbia, where faith met fear and the unknown lurked just beyond the flicker of candlelight, two figures would become synonymous with the supernatural. He, a devout demonologist armed with conviction and crucifix. She, a clairvoyant conduit to the world beyond. Together, they ventured into the heart of humanity's darkest hauntings, documenting cases that would terrify and enthrall generations. From the cursed farmhouse of The Conjuring to the possessed doll known as Annabelle and the spectral horrors of the Amityville house, these two built a legacy that blurred the line between skepticism and belief. Their investigations, often criticized and yet impossible to ignore, created a mythology that merged religion, psychology, and pure dread. Were they heroic defenders against demonic forces? Or master storytellers who turned folklore into faith-fueled theater? This case file joined the theorists as we confront the skeptics and peer into the shadowy and complex careers of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Welcome to Jelking 101.
Did I tell you I was measuring wrong my entire life?
The fact that a grown man is still feeling the need to measure his fucking...
Tell the people what you're measuring and tell them about your jelking obsession.
Your hog.
Your right? hog.
Your hog.
I didn't know.
You're full of terms today.
Buddy, you're all snout. You're no hog.
Yeah. Not anymore,
you got
dude.
A little fucking Not pig anymore. Snout.
Yeah. The official measurements, well above, like decently above average. By the official standard of measuring. I'm not cheating. This is the official way.
Explain to people what the official measuring.
You're supposed to go on the top.
Yeah, you have 3 inches of that ruler buried in fucking fat. That's why. It's just fucking jabbering in the old fucking front porch.
Dude, I'm just saying. The official. Hey, you listen.
What the fuck?
You guys can make fun of me all you want. It says right in the official. It says push to the till you hit the bone.
Till you hit the bone deep inside.
It says
inside.
Push through pubic hair and fat till you hit
what
the pubic
fucking bone?
The pubic bone.
Oh, you're burying that thing.
Oh, buddy. I was like,
he's sucking in and pushing at the same time.
Sick.
He finally, got a fucking idiot all of a sudden.
He got to five. He's good.
You'll notice Dan's not here this week. He's been sleeping in or sleeping, going to sleep early. Finally we told him, listen,
step up, man.
We need you to, you know, you're not attracting the target market, right? And we told Dan he can't have any more Tylenol. He's done too much. Too much Tylenol. No more. It's not good for him.
It affects your neural tubes.
Yeah, I said, no, you can't do that. So right now we're trying to see if Dan can blind himself so that way we can get the blind community on board. Just hit another niche market.
Be more inclusive.
That's our goal.
Dan is getting his eyes upgraded or something, I believe.
Yeah.
Hopefully upgraded and not downgraded. We didn't actually ask if we could actually tell him what's wrong, the people what's wrong, but I think his eyes fell out. That's what happened.
One
eye just fell out one day.
Dude, that's what, you know what? I guarantee you, the only thing that saved all of our eyes is having kids so we weren't able to play fucking video games all day.
Our eyes would have aged another 5 years.
Able to play.
We were not able
We weren't anyways.
Never played. We haven't played any games in months.
Yeah. Buddy, what are you talking about?
That's right.
We've been working hard. You should see all the bonus content we've been recording for you guys.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
Tons.
It's insane. Dude, Spooktober, I was thinking about this. So, you know, October filled with spooky season. Like, I'm going to, like, on a limb here, I know you guys, we're all like, we're all kind of believing. Like, there's creepy shit out there.
I believe more than I should, probably.
We all in the dark. We're scared. Yeah.
Hey, lights go off. I'm running upstairs.
Right?
I'm skipping two steps at a time.
Dude, 100%, dude.
The motion sensor burnt out on the way to the studio, and I have to bring a flashlight now to get out here.
Yeah, it's...
And your dog?
Yeah, so you're just terrified.
And the dog, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, the dark walk from the studio back to the house... I checked the security camera before I opened the door.
It's a long 50 feet.
All right. Long. Yeah. I was like, it's brutal. So I was thinking everywhere. So it's like, we're believers. We're believers in the paranormal. There's weird shit out there.
In some things. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's so funny. Like, fuck, some weird shit's out there. We all listen to these cases where, there's some you're like, well, that's fucking terrifying, especially 6th Spooktober. But the weird thing is with these kind of things is, have you ever listened to someone you don't really know in person tell you about a paranormal experience? My first thought instantly, yeah, right.
Yeah, your eyes are rolling the back of your head.
Are you fucking, this guy's fucking fabulous. We're just going to see you listening to this film.
Oh, yeah, okay, buddy.
Right? I swear, I don't know why.
That beer can flew across the room. There's handprints on the wall.
You're standing there, you feel like, you're just like, unbelievable. I don't believe a word of this. It's so funny because I do that all the time and I've had experiences that are weird and I'm like, I can't explain that. And then someone else tells me theirs and I'm like, damn, you were asleep.
You were drunk. I mean?
It's so weird. It's a phenomenon. Like the second someone else that you don't really know tells you in person, you're like, liar.
I do that because it makes me feel better.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's because when I go to sleep, I just remind myself they were lying.
Yeah, they were lying.
They were lying. They were fucking lying.
There was definitely no monsters under there.
Yeah, there's no monsters under this bed.
They couldn't even get under there.
Yeah, it didn't even make sense.
Because I was thinking of that with, like, when we're talking about Ed and Lorraine, is because I'm like, dude, like, hated on for sure. Game changers.
And rightfully so.
Right? Why? And nothing but the truth out of those.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at their impact now, like, basically, like, fucking all the most popular horror genres right now are based off, like, shit they did in, like, The Conjurings and...
it's weird. It's like it's almost already adapted for film or for book. It's just so, wild and crazy.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, well, there's even, like, okay, so, like, I had to kind of look into Ed. First off, I watched part of my research. I was like, you know what? This is a good excuse to watch the new Conjuring that came out. And I hadn't looked at a picture of like the actual Ed and Lorraine in a long time. I've just seen like the sexy actors and actresses that plays them.
Mia Farminga or whatever her name.
I don't know. She's good. I like her.
I like
the guy too. I like them both. And then it's like in the movie, spoiler alert, through all the Conjuring, guy just keeps having heart attacks, right?
And tracks. Yeah. I would be.
Well, because you think because all the spooky stuff, right? They're like,
devil's in his heart.
Yeah, yeah, right? Giving up. Actually, it's because the fucking first thing out of that guy's mouth at all times was, you mind if I hack a dart here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, notorious chain smoker.
Dude, if you're getting paranormally activated on the regular, you're going to be ripping darts.
How could you not be?
It's the first thing you'd want to do after getting paranormally activated. I'd never smoke a day in my life. I'd go outside and fucking buy a pack of Demoria Extra Light and fucking rip them.
I'd be smoking. I'd have the patch and I'd have a fucking Zin tucked in my top lip all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he kind of got it started. He just grew up in a haunted house and I guess he had like a near-death experience after a car crash. And that just like that experience kind of coupled with his like childhood, he just basically became self-taught. He was like,
he's a self-taught demonologist.
Yes. And the craziest thing about that is like, if you look at Ed and you look at some of like, he didn't advertise that he did it, but he would fucking do exorcisms against the wishes of the Catholic Church. And it's so fucking funny because he was like, he would come in there. And like these people, this family would be like, our fucking kid is fucking puking. He's saying, scream, fuck me, Jesus. It's fucked. We need some help. And he'd come in like, hey, I can do an exorcism. This motherfucker would go in there, start performing the exorcism. It would go completely sideways and it would get worse so that they would have to call in the Catholic Church and like an actual priest to come in and perform like last rites and like try to fix this. And I was like, this guy's just the first ever like DIYer fucking ghost hunter. He's just out there just fucking, you know, I can make it work until it doesn't work anymore. Then we better call a professional.
Think about the confidence that would take. That's phenomenal. Like that's, I don't know.
To just walk in and you're like, I can do this.
You just reach into your pocket, pull out the holy water and the cross and be like, I got this.
I think that's
part of it. I mean, it looks easy.
That's part of the allure with, I think, for me anyways, like the big allure with Ed and Lorraine is the fact that they're like, you look at them, like Braden's referencing, and that they look like your average, it's like fucking, it looks like Hank and Peggy Hill showing up to fucking perform an exorcism at your door, right? Like they're super, they just look like completely normal people. And they're obviously like, as they want you to, you know, they portray they're devout Catholics, right? So they're just your everyday normal, you know, pious people. But yet they're fucking Christian or they're Catholic superheroes on the side, right? They're literally out there fucking ghost busting. And that's, I think, what attracts most people to it. Cause
they're John Constantine is what they are.
Well, but see, that's the thing, like Constantine showing up with like fucking eye makeup and like looking all like grim and brooding. And you're like, oh yeah, that guy fits.
That guy can
this is fucking Hank Hill showing up. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it looks like he's got his shitty jean fucking shirt tucked into his jeans, hiked up half past his ass. I don't know. I just like it. You almost had, it's almost like the everyman as opposed to, we got into this stuff so in depth previously, and you've got like Madame Blavatsky and all these other esoteric fucking, you know, creepy, you know, people who are willing to show up at your door and do these things. And instead you have like somebody who you would approach, somebody that you would see at fucking Sunday mass or whatever.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of self-taught demonologists. Now, if anyone, so if people are just tuning in for the first time, like who the fuck are these guys talking about? Ed and Lorraine Warren. Right. So we've kind of said that they are involved in a bunch of high profile cases that later turned into some of the most famous books and TV about horror.
They founded NESPR in 1952, the New England Society for Psychic Research. It's the oldest ghost hunting group in New England. And
New England's a pretty haunted place.
Yeah.
It's the most haunted, you know?
Yeah.
It's got the most history in North America for murder and colonial war.
The NESPR.
A lot of death there.
A lot of death.
NESPR's claimed to have researched and studied over 10,000 cases.
10,000 is pushing it. And a lot of the numbers you get are from like the Warrens.net.
Well, I was going to say like yeah. 75% of that is just fucking the Warrens cases too.
Yeah,
like I mean the stuff that they were in. You listen to their public. Did you, any of you guys listen to their public access TV show?
No,
watch it at all. It's wild. It's fucking wild. It's a must watch.
So they claim, some people claim 10,000 cases, and it's, you know, it's haunting, spiritual phenomena, demonic activity. Lorraine claims she's like a clairvoyant, like a medium, right? She has
powers from when she was a little kid. She could like pierce through the veil.
Yeah. So between her as like a medium and him as a demonologist, they formed this fucking super team.
Yeah.
Of paranormal investigators who went around and had a name for getting the most haunted, most terrifying cases. And usually they ended terribly anyway. Like there's no like happy ending to any of these cases.
Well, I mean,
it's a pretty happy ending for the Warrens, I'd say.
Yeah, they did all right.
They did pretty good.
Not the people, who claim that they're haunted, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, all of their cases, we've done some before on ATT. A lot of them you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them you've heard, right? Like, what do we got here? I had a fucking list.
First thing comes to mind is the Annabelle doll.
And that thing's fucking creepy, dude. As a owner of also of a haunted doll, dolls are terrifying.
It's funny you say that because like your haunted doll, absolutely terrifying. Their haunted doll is like, fuck, it's Raggedy Ann.
It's Raggedy Ann. Dude, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that like, but yeah, in case you don't know what we're talking about, in 1968, Connecticut, two young nurses claimed that their Raggedy Ann doll was possessed by a spirit named Annabelle Higgins. The doll reportedly moved on its own, left handwritten notes, and displayed violent behavior. After a psychic reading, the Warrens concluded it was a demonic entity and not a human ghost, using the doll as a conduit.
One of the things I had read was that it was a conduit for the doll because some kids were playing Ouija or whatever, or communicating, and didn't know they were communicating with a demon and gave it permission to enter the doll.
They fucked up. Cause it threw one of these nurses' boyfriends across the room.
Yeah. Well, dude, it just killed one of the handlers, like recently. Like within the last week.
Well, that's important. Well, that's important to point out too. So the people
Matt
who
Riper's
were
like, fuck yes.
I know.
He's like, oh right? Yeah. Fuck yeah. Right, so after his big purchase in Annabelle.
After the Warrens came on this case, they ended up taking Annabelle back to their little museum that they had, and they put her kind of on display. And then like Braden's referencing comedian Matt Rife, handsome fucking chiseled jaw, does great crowd work, stand up, nah. Crowd works pretty
he's
good.
He's bought their whole collection.
Yeah, he bought their entire collection. I think he bought the museum, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Rife is one serious burn away from being a terrible comedian.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. I don't know. I feel.
He's got a pretty face, you know? Girls love him.
Which helps.
Which helps.
Well, that's surgically enhanced.
The jaw. That jaw.
Do you guys want to rip through a few of their more famous ones?
Yeah, let's. Well, yeah, so we got the Annabelle doll, right? That's. Yep. 68, by 1970, it started changing positions and writing Help Me, and it was a haunted doll that went on for a while. The Warrens are finally called in, and Lorraine senses it's not a child spirit, but a demonic entity, using the doll as a conduit to seek possession of anyone willing. So I guess if you're a demon, you can't go straight into a person. You got to get into an object. Doll, haunted object, something, and then from there you got to have a willing host to accept you in, and that's I guess what the Annabelle doll was, or is, because it's still around.
Yeah, and you can see it for like $29.99. It's perfect.
Well, it's an interesting thing too, because I was like, I was reading old things of like, why wouldn't you burn these things, or like.
Burn the cash cow? Why would you burn it?
No shit.
Right, but like, because they did destroy some items.
Well, I'm sure over the
But this one's pretty marketable. I'd want to keep that way. It makes for a nice display.
Listen, I don't want to get into licensing stuff, but it's a raggedy end all. So it's not like you can be like, here's our Hasbro fucking haunted dolls. You're like, you can't have that doll. That's already a mass produced doll. Whereas like my doll is one of one, right? When let's people learn about my,
you have no idea.
Bring out that haunted doll you got.
You assume it's one of one.
You were told it was one of one. That's not even a doll. That's actually just a shrunken person.
Yeah, that's fucking. It acts. Yeah. It kind of looks like old Greg's baby. Hey,
I'm old Greg.
You ever drink Baileys from a shoe?
Its hands are bound behind its back. I don't know.
That's fucking weird.
Why is its mouth open like that? That's weird.
Yeah.
Why is it dripping? It's got a lid.
Got a little pucker.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh. That's fucking weird, though.
But like, you know what I mean? Like for licensing standpoint, like it's like, if you had any other kind of doll, then it's like, you can mass produce that. So it's like, yes, I get it. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, you can't do anything like merchandise wise with that. And like, to be honest, the thing.
Yeah, but like,
they weren't good merchandisers. Like a lot of the time they had all these artifacts. They didn't have a museum at the time. They didn't open that till after they retired.
Yeah. But you're thinking too, like you're thinking now, right? You're thinking of what you're doing in 2025 or 2026. Like, yes, you're merchandising. Yes, you want mass produced. This is back in the fucking early 70s. They're not thinking about, no, you know what I mean? There's no like mass produced fucking, you got like what action, or you got G.I. Joes and Barbies. Like those, you know, like you don't really have the crazy scale that we have now with all this type of shit. Like it's they'd be on TikTok fucking being like, man, look at this. You can get this too for fucking, you know, $16.95.
Now, after that actual case, they took that doll and they put it in like a glass case that says, do not open. Is it still in there, or has it been opened?
It's been opened.
I think so.
Been opened, and that person got possessed, and now they're dead.
I figured they got to do like every once in a while, they got to do like that scene from fucking Toy Story 2 where that creepy old guy's fucking doing up Woody, sewing his arm back on. Like, they, you know, they send that guy in to fucking spruce up Raggedy Allen a little bit to make it look good.
Well,
the doll went on tour.
Oh, shit.
The tour's organizer, paranormal investigator Dan Rivera, tragically died unexpectedly, though, in July 2025, which was initially linked to the doll by online rumors.
Well, it has to be.
The doll is safe, but he is dead. So don't fuck with the doll. Don't take it out of the case. It can't go on tour. We now know. It cost you your life.
It's like the Stanley Cup. It's got a handler.
It's Rivera.
It wears like nice little white gloves while you fucking... That guy died?
What?
The cup guy?
No.
Oh, not cup guy. Oh, man.
That guy's been the cup handler for what? Like 30 years?
Something like that. It's crazy.
What a good gig. You think great that's gig. Is that a 365 gig or has he got a real job?
It's a 365.
No, because the cup's always on tour, right? It's always going. So I guess he's going to high schools. Yeah. It's you guys going seen to the cup rinks.
In real life?
I've seen it once. Yeah. I've seen it at the hockey hall.
Never seen it.
I saw it in West Kelowna. I can't remember who brought it.
Justin Schultz.
Oh, is that Aaron?
It was a long time ago.
Aaron Goddard, maybe? What do you want with the
I don't remember.
Pins?
One of the other cases, so the one I talked about with, this one's interesting. This one's kind of like, it's interesting because I'm like, again, I have that phenomenon. If anyone I don't know tells me a paranormal story, I'm like, yeah, right. That doesn't exist.
I feel like it also doesn't. But,
what about all those people on Cosmic Channels? You didn't believe them?
No, he says in person.
Oh, in person.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's listening,
I
get that same thing, but it's when I like go and buy a big bag of popcorn and pay and buy a ticket and go sit down and watch it on the fucking big screen. Then I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Oh, man, I'm hook, line, and sinker on those movies. I love them.
David Glatzel. This one's interesting because this is the one where fucking he actually performed an exorcism on an 11-year-old boy. He claims he was possessed by 43 demons. I think that's excessive. I don't think you had to go.
Who was this?
High.
David? That we said?
Yeah.
David Glatzel.
Glatzel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Devil Made Me Do It case of 1980.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, like, the Warrens helped three Catholic priests, did like 80 plus exorcisms. And during the final exorcism, Lorraine claims that the demons entered Arnie, the fiance, Debbie's brother-in-law, whoever the fuck Debbie is. I think David's mom or something. But anyways, and then 3 months later, Arnie stabbed an employer, Alan Bono, 22 times, and he claimed possession. But David was fine afterwards and went on to like live... fucking, I mean, as reasonably normal life
without having stabbed 22 times.
No, the original kid that possessed before they kind of forced it out of him and it went into someone else. He went on to kind of lead a normal life. And so you're like, well, did it work? Cause he was being fucked. Like, cause part of me goes like a lot of these things, especially with exorcism and that kind of stuff. My brain goes to mental health. Right. I try to like reasonable, like mental health disorder.
Well, there's a lot of like not only mental health, but there's tons of medical conditions as well.
Psychosis like, and stuff. But I'm like, this kid.
Well, not even like something as basic as an infection.
Well, maybe. But this kid gets better through fucking prayer then. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it was.
A little prayer and penicillin stack. It fucking works. Fucking great.
Right. So it was the guy who did the exorcism challenged the demon to enter him. And the kid was safe. And then that guy went on to murder his landlord.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
It's fucking crazy. That's pretty nuts.
So yeah, the Warrens were called in and they bring in this guy who claims he's an exorcist, blah, blah, blah. He challenges the demon to enter him instead of the kid. Then he goes on to murder his landlord saying the demon did it. And that's how the case got its name. The Devil Made Me Do It, because that's the whole defense was like, it wasn't me. I'm insane. There was a demon in my brain.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And that's why I couldn't pay rent. I had to stab the guy 22 times.
Right. So that ended up being a part of the Conjuring series, right? They made like a...
I think that was the first one or the third
one. Devil Made Me Do It in 2021. So that was...
Yeah, probably the third one.
Yeah. I mean, that's a weird one. Like you go...
Wait, I mean, because I hate some of these cases. I read them and I'm like, stupid. But then you get stuff like that and you're like, that's kind of weird.
What, you challenge the demon to enter you?
That's not even the one. We've talked about the case of all cases.
There's two. There's like the two.
It's one of my favorites. Okay, well, I'm going to save the fucking, obviously, the home run for you, because mine.
Well, I don't know. I hope you guys remember. Or actually, well, kind of three.
Amityville is the home run.
There's Amityville. And there's the Enfield.
Enfield, they didn't really fucking do anything on Enfield, though. That's, we learned that when we did the case.
It's true. It's been 100% so long ago since we actually did that case. But
you talked to the Enfield family. They're like, these fucking guys showed up and we told them to pound sand, basically. But no, we talked about this guy too. And I don't even know if you guys remember that the Warrens are part of this, but you guys remember the South End werewolf? Bill Ramsey?
Ramsey, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude. So Bill Ramsey, a man from... Dude, I'd love... This is one of my... I died during that case. Bill Ramsey, a man from Essex, claimed to be possessed by a demonic werewolf spirit. He experienced uncontrollable rages, attacks, and even bit police officers. The Warrens arranged an exorcism in Connecticut with Bishop McKenna claiming to expel the werewolf demon.
It's so funny.
Ramsey's violent episodes stopped supposedly after ritual, but like you get into this. Oh, it's so fucking funny.
Dude, just the thought of like uncontrollable rage where this guy's just like in traffic and then he's like,
absolutely
foaming at the mouth trying to bite your car, howling. You're like, oh, and then he comes down and you're like, yo, what was that? And he's like, dude, I
listen, man, I would be using that card everywhere. Somebody comes up to you, wants to fucking give you a parking ticket, you fucking just run around losing my mind.
And it just, and then you just have to see that guy again later that day. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sorry about that.
Normal. Yeah, sorry.
Maybe like
a demon dogs.
Trying to think of like a fucking non-shitty way of saying this, but maybe like even, maybe he's just one of those, like we'd attribute now, like those guys that use the fucking kitty litter in the bathrooms and stuff like that. Like maybe this guy just was one of the first. I was like, I identify as a werewolf. I'm a fucking werewolf. I get crazy, especially get, you know, and you make me mad.
Dude,
just like,
I've seen some of those TikToks of the people where they're like, he's just a furry without the fur, right? It's like, yeah, my wolf convenient. Bat. I'm the alpha. Yeah,
it's crazy.
The alpha dog in the group.
But like, think about it too. It's like now in it's, yeah, perfect. So this happened in 1983. 1983, you're doing exorcisms on this guy. In 2025, you're placating this guy. You are a werewolf. You absolutely are. You're perfectly allowed to identify as a werewolf. Yeah. You can do whatever you want.
But if you bite another person, we're going to have to get you a cone. Yeah. Like a muzzle. You can't be doing that. The interesting thing to that is I like the thing of like, this guy's like kind of worked his way himself into this corner of being like this werewolf persona. It's not popular, I imagine, with anyone, with his family. Like, could you imagine like one of your family members all of a sudden is like, and they're like, I can't stop, dude. It's a demon dog in me.
I picture this guy kind of is a little Costanza-esque too.
Yeah.
You're just watching a little fucking ball guy rage like that.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, calm down.
Get the hose, spray him down.
It gets so wildly unpopular that like he reaches out to get an exorcism. You're like, perfect. I've gotten out. He's like, this is going to 100% work. Like, see that one? I think it's fucking stupid. It's hilarious.
It's funny though.
But it's funny. It's funny. But it's like, I think it's fucking stupid. Like, what are you stupid about?
What are you talking about?
The motherfucker wasn't a werewolf.
He fucking was.
What is a werewolf?
And then he got an exorcism and they banished it. He was, you're right. He wasn't a werewolf. He was possessed by a demon.
You got it.
What demonic. Did you just ask what is a werewolf? That's a complicated question, so.
Let's get into it. What is a werewolf?
It's a lichen.
It's just not straight. It's just not a straight answer, okay?
It's a spectrum.
Right? It's a spectrum. It's a werewolf spectrum.
How far was he on the werewolf spectrum is what I want to know.
Because, you have start of the spectrum.
We start going campus to campus. What is a werewolf?
That's how you end up getting shot in the neck.
That's how you get shot in the neck.
We're not doing that. Every October from here on, what is a werewolf?
It's a real question in the conspiracy world, paranormal world, because a werewolf could be like you're possessed, as Andrew said, by like a demonic werewolf entity.
No, like that's a wolf not werewolf. Entity. Werewolf is your fucking.
But then you go all the way to what's it called? Lycanthropy? Yeah. Where you actually...
Lycanthropy?
Where you actually turn into a fucking werewolf, a wolf. Like a lycan, right? Like fucking underworld werewolf, jacked, super fast.
Fucking Taylor Lautner, just fucking sexy.
Right, but you're killed by silver. Like it's all whole thing. Like that's the spectrum, right? You think you're a werewolf or you're a fucking werewolf, you know?
Yeah, if you're fucking putting on a fucking wolf costume and dry humping your friends, that's pretty low on the spectrum.
Like I've seen some werewolves.
That's pretty high on the spectrum.
I've seen the furry community comes out to Old Flanagan sometimes.
That's wild.
Fully dressed, dude. And they're having a great time. But there's werewolves. There's fucking everything.
Not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. Actually, it's some of the most fun, just the funnest shows because they party the hardest, actually, somehow.
That, which is fine. But did you see that article where they're like, somebody posted, they're like, at a kid's birthday party, at a kid's play place, everybody's having a good time. And the furry showed up.
What, kid's play place?
Yeah. The one, the Energy Plex in Rollins. It's like.
Were they kid furries?
Like, no, there were adult furries want to play with kids. And I'm like, there's no fucking way.
Not a chance, Ben.
Grow man dressed like a fucking fox with a handkerchief.
We're all pretty inclusive. Just leave the kids alone. All right. Just
100%.
Just go away.
Just fuck off with the kids.
You can go. They could have went to the air house. It's for adults. Yeah. Could have went jumped around the trampolines.
Any adult without kids who plays with, goes and plays with children.
That's a hard no, dude.
No. God,
when I was in Kelowna, we're at the city water park, little segue, and
the werewolf there.
There's probably like 10, maybe. There was a werewolf. And
Cancel again. That was amazing.
He may have been. I didn't ask. But like a grown man started frolicking through the water with all the kids. And like every
parent. Yeah, and you grab your kids.
Fuck off. Every parent like kind of was just like, woo.
No, thank you.
And then this like adult man just frolicked around. And I was like, just death staring him. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
You can do that until the wrong dad's there one day and just kills you. You know what I mean? Like just lays you out.
Yeah. Unless you're a werewolf for real.
The real werewolf, you kill that guy. Yeah.
Then look out. That's where we got to be safe out there.
Okay, well, tangent. Where were we?
All right. Bleep that. We're going to cut.
That's fucking front page material right there. Let's go to another famous one. You know, maybe I think it's actually considered
the most.
Not the most, but I think it's considered the scariest movie based on heart rate made, or one of them.
Oh, really?
The case that The Conjuring is based on. Which is the Perrin family haunting of 1971. Yeah. And that's Roger and Carolyn Perrin moved into this old farmhouse with their daughters. And in that house, something must have happened before because as soon as they moved in, objects started flying, ghostly apparitions were everywhere, and which started leading to like physical attacks, people getting dragged down the stairs. And that's like, have you watched The Conjuring recently?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying, dude. Well,
dude,
the first one is so
fucking scary. Yeah.
You don't ever buy a house, especially a farmhouse, that used to be owned by a lady named fucking Bathsheba.
Yeah,
It's a fucking deal breaker.
Yeah,
you can't buy Bathsheba's house.
No, even if it's that good of a deal. I need a nice white name. Smith, right? That's Smith. What I'm looking for. Who is one of their owner? What was the last name? Smith? Perfect. I'm good.
Gonna
be no ghosts in there. Did he die here? No? Perfect. Even better.
But at this house, like the clocks would stop moving at like 3:07 or something?
3:15, I thought.
It's 3 something.
3:16? Not a good time.
I don't know. I'm going to ask it. I can't remember.
Dinner.
For some reason, I want to say it was like 3:07, but it could be, it's between 3 and 3:15. We'll go with that. It was, you know, clocks would
imagine
stop.
Imagine being haunted with the ghost of Stone Cold. Just all day fucking
I just got that
crushing
right now,
beers and stunning
I completely
you.
Missed that. It was 3:16, actually. It was the proper
it was definitely 3:16. Yeah. You're just fucking eating dinner with your family, hear the glass break.
Fuck!
Walks in, just stuns you in front of your family. And you're just like, fuck. Gives you one of those on the ground, fucking. Yeah.
But at this place, like the wife, Carolyn, she sees
stomping mud holes all upstairs all day. You're like, fuck,
kicking the door open. But she's seen like a girl in a gray dress would say, get out. Right. And then this, by the mid 1971, research reveals Holmes' dark paths containing several deaths on the property, including Bathsheba Sherman, rumored to be the witch who sacrificed her infant to the devil.
Fuck. You can't buy Bathsheba's old house.
So in late 1971, the Warrens are called in and Lorraine senses what she explains as a powerful, malicious entity, possibly Bathsheba targeting Carolyn. So the
Bathsheba,
the demonic remnants targeting this girl. They hold a seance. They actually hold a seance to free Caroline, but it backfires, resulting in her temporary possession. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. The guy was a fucking cavalier, dude. He was like, I can do this. I don't need any help.
But you know what? The crazy thing about the parents who lived in this house, they obviously didn't care that much because they lived there for 10 fucking years.
Yeah, it's fine.
And they did recount. Worse. They have like came on the record, said like, yeah, the house was haunted. The seance wasn't that big of a deal, but the house was haunted. It was weird, but we just thought like, hey, whatever. We'll live here because it's our house. We bought it. Can't sell it now. You can't sell a haunted house once you buy it.
No.
You're stuck with it.
Well, it's hard to after like, I wonder where's Harrisville? I wonder if it's in one of the states where you have to declare.
Rhode Island.
I wonder, see, Rhode Island, do you have to declare if a fucking person was murdered in the house before you sell it?
Well, I think.
Because not every state's the same.
Well, Canada, you have to declare if there's a murder. But you don't have to declare if it's haunted.
Just a death. What about just a death, right?
Death, I don't think you don't have to know. You don't have death, to. I not know death. Don't. I know. Or else every house would be like, someone died here.
Well, that's what I mean. And like, you can't, it's technically, what if you're getting fucking killed by ghosts? They don't know.
That's a good loophole.
Oh, right?
That's a good loophole.
So you think you're fucking safe, but you're not.
How many houses are haunted and people don't have to disclose?
Buddy, they've never, ghost murder ever, is not, they'll never chalk a murder. They chalk it up to COVID-19 before they chalk it up to ghost murder.
Yeah.
2012, COVID hit. Guy died. What do you want to do about it?
Add it to the stats.
7-8 years early.
It's weird. He must not have been vaccinated.
It's an interesting, the parent one, what I forget about that too is everyone forgets about Ed, because he's like, I always think that like the typical like voice recording and they're, you know, they're going in there with EMF readers and stuff and, you know, like video cameras, like
dagnabbit fucking ghosts, dude, get us out of here.
The early days, fucking Lorraine wrote notes of what there was happening, and fucking Ed painted pictures of what was, and sketched pictures of what was going on in the house. And you're like, just Bob Rossed it. And then that was how they like documented these things. And I always forget that he just went in there with like a fucking little painter's pad and just sketched the whole time. Like, they didn't think to record anything for like years at the beginning.
There's no mistakes. Yeah, just happy accidents. Why.
Like, we could sell this stuff. It's like, people loving the paintings. Imagine we had some actual recordings. Well,
you paint whatever the fuck you want. If you record it, it's actually got to happen.
The Smurl incident's kind of interesting too, because that's where you had the family go to the news. Right?
Which one was the Smurl?
The Smurl was the one where they like, they were possessed by like, they had two ghosts in there, and then the family went to the news.
Oh, I got it here. Okay, yeah.
And then, like, it kind of got nationwide. It got publicity before the Warrens got involved. And then they kind of came involved, like, after the fact. Like, after. And, like, these people were, like, by all accounts, were just like, we need help.
Okay, oh, this one's crazy. This one's number 7 on my list, so I actually didn't look too much into it. But moved into a duplex, and they claimed their lives were tormented by violent sexual and physical hauntings for over a decade.
Yeah, dude, like, it's fucked. Like, the kids, everyone, like, everyone was, it was fucked. They would have black masses, like, form on the walls, and then they would disappear. They would hear, like, pig grunts all night long, and they're like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, that'd be terrifying. Imagine
sexual assault on going, Jack Smurl.
Yeah, the dad. Yeah, the dad was getting, and not cool ones.
Not like Ghostbusters fucking sexy.
No.
No?
God, no, I don't think he was enjoying it.
Damn.
No safer for him. But like, and then it's like, yeah. And they like that one was, it's interesting because they went to the press first, like news, and they did interviews and stuff before the Warrens ever got involved. So it's like, they just didn't know where else to turn. Like the church wouldn't help. They're like, so then they just had no idea what to do. And then the Warrens got involved later. So it's like, that one's like the Smurls got nothing out of it. You know what I mean? They didn't go on tour after. It's not like they were fucking rich or anything. You know what I mean? It's not like they have the fucking Smurl table at the conventions. Right. So it's like, it's just weird. Like, was everyone fucking bullshitting then? Like the whole family? I'll say, I don't know if I would last 10 years. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Like, how long could you guys last if you were getting sexually assaulted?
Yeah, but maybe they just didn't have it. Like, they didn't have a choice. They can't move. They've reached out for help. Nobody's willing to help them. Then they find Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah, and Ed and Lorraine, they come in 1986. This is 12 years after they fucking move in, and they determine there's four entities present, one being a high-level demon.
A high-level rapist.
Yes. I mean, yeah. If you go with, like, you know, there's demons in, like, a biblical sense, like fallen angels, blah, 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 evil, tempting things. But then there's, like, evil, like, demons in the modern sense. It's, like, evil people. Like, that's what demons are. These fucking, they got something inside their brain that makes them do the most evil, heinous shit. That's a demon.
And that's real. There's that's people. That's a real thing.
Real fucking thing.
And that's why it's so hard to fathom when you read about this shit in the news. And you're like, how can somebody who is the same species as you do something like that? I'm like, that makes no fucking sense.
Kill your whole family and then go in on a stabbing spree down your neighborhood. You're like, right? How? How does that even happen?
The interesting thing to me is when I'm thinking about these things and they say demons, I feel like when you say demons, it gets kind of looped into like religion. It's like, and I don't necessarily believe that like angels and demons kind of thing, but I believe that like there was evil spirits, and if you want to call them demons, sure, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're like fucking Satan from hell. It's one of Satan's commanders has come up to fight God. Like, no, I'm like maybe these things are like, it's just a fucking mass of bad juju, right?
Well, yeah, I think you can totally subscribe to believing in this shit and not being religious, I think.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think
I don't think you have to. I don't think that has to come hand in hand.
Well, I think a lot of people be like, demons, I don't believe that shit.
Well, that's what I mean about like modern demons.
Listen, if you believe Ed and Lorraine, then obviously their tactics were very influenced by the fucking church and traditional exorcisms work, which would lead you to believe that, yes, these are fucking minions of Satan or
isn't it weird that the Catholic Church has a little fucking secret little society that performs exorcism, like, and they just like, we don't talk about it really. I think that's a little strange too, that they're like,
they know some that we don't,
right? And they're like, but they have a fucking little crew, a special ops crew.
Yeah, but see, the crazy thing too is like Zell's going around like, here's the difference, like fucking demons are just fucking really shitty, terrible people that do terrible things. Yeah. Well, a lot of those terrible, shitty people were in the Catholic Church. So,
yeah.
I mean, some of the worst people have been part of religion. You know what I mean? It's not
absolutely.
It's not like, oh, you're a religious guy. That must mean you have a 100% pure heart doing absolute only nothing but good.
Which is what, but that is what they lead you to believe. Yeah, that's what they claim.
And then you're like, okay, if you believe in if you follow, like, doesn't matter what God, if you follow a religion and you go to church, most people are pretty good people. Most.
Yeah. And but listen, it's not 100%. If you weren't a good person that week, you just go in there on Sunday and talk to a guy in a fucking porta potty and he'll forgive you of all that
shit. Lick your ear canal and touch you up between the legs and say, it's okay, son.
Yeah. Spend over. It's all right, boyo.
Lick one the finger. Yeah. I mean, the demon thing is kind of crazy because, fuck, I had a note here about it. It was levels of demons. So from the Key of Solomon, Lesser Key of Solomon, there's like all, you can go look up like all, they have like a hierarchy of demons.
Yeah, but what is awesome. That? That's not part of the Bible. Is that like the fucking Similarian?
That's a more modern thing.
Like, it's like the Similarian. It's like not really part of the Lord.
You can buy a big fucking chart of them, like Pokemon. You see all the evolutions of the demons and shit.
Right, because there's...
I want to catch this one.
The main list of demons is King, Duke, Prince, and Marquis. And some of the most powerful demons, like Baal and Lucifer and all these guys are emperors, princes, and counts. So there's a whole hierarchy of demons. And the more powerful you are, the cooler of a title, I guess, you get. And the more easily you can haunt someone, possess someone, I guess, the more power you have.
Power level.
I mean, it gets like, well, how do you move up in the demon world? Like, do you have to kill a higher demon? Is there internal battles where you got to get more powerful and you can only get more powerful by killing a higher demon? I don't know.
Dude, imagine there's just a demon rat race you got to interview. Like, that's, if that, we're oh, talking that's hell, way worse. If we're talking that'd be hell, way worse. Yeah, you got to do panel hell. Interviews. Yeah. Right, a lot of fucking hobnobbing.
Like Satan himself dressed like an asshole in a suit.
Yeah, you're like, fuck these, dude. These fucking.
Every answer has to be in the star format.
Yeah, you're just like, oh god, yeah. that's how you fucking that's rank hell. It out. Yeah, that's hell.
That's hell, and you finish the interview, and it just starts all over again.
Yeah,
you never get out.
No.
You never get the job. You never get any money.
As soon
as
you finish, they just hand you, they're like, all right, you have 7 days to prepare this competency. You're like, god damn, it's too much.
Will it ever end? I don't know, the whole demon thing is like
wild.
I mean, the religion aspect, like it's in biblical terms, it was what Lucifer rebelled. He took 1/3 of the angels, they're cast from heaven, and they became the demons, the evil angels. Every bit as powerful, but evil.
But you can see,
isn't
like
that crazy. They just didn't agree with him, and they're like, "Fuck, they're the worst."
Fuck you.
Like, well, no, but. But like you can definitely see where the roots of this come from, because it's like we talked about it earlier, but like you see these like normal people who are capable of doing some of the world's worst things, the most disgusting things. And that's how you would rationalize it. You know, it's like these can't be normal people. That doesn't make sense.
Yep.
Right. Like that's, it's so much easier to fucking digest that way. Being like, this is not a normal person. They're fucking possessed by a guy who lives where it's hot and flames everywhere. Terrible. He's pineapples up your ass, whatever. But that, you know what I mean? Like that's this, right? Like, cause that to me,
oh,
like,
Hitler,
and like most
time for your pineapple.
Yeah. Right. Like that's, you'd want to believe that. That's more comforting to know that, because then it's not like your neighbor who's a normal person besides you can fucking go crazy and kill you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's nothing to do with like your wiring or upbringing or other traumatic nature events in your life. Nurture. It's all demonic.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, all Lucifer wanted to do was be on par with God, right? Why can't he be on par with God if everyone's equal? Why can't he be the same as God?
Yeah, I got a question. I got a technical question. You guys probably don't know this.
Probably not.
But Hitler, I guess, was
easy.
Traditional Christian. He believed in traditional Christian ideals. So does that mean that, like, you know, maybe he asked for forgiveness right before the end?
That's Christian. That's not Catholic. Catholic's where you go and repent.
Oh, so, but, yeah. So if you're saying with Christian, didn't Jesus already die for those sins then?
I don't know.
Well, right? I don't really know.
I'm just saying.
The Christian and Catholic,
I don't know. Listen,
it's pretty much the same Bible, but they got the saints and stuff.
I'm just
and
saying.
I thought they wanted the eggs. Yeah. Isn't that why they killed them?
Isn't the biggest difference
smuggling fucking Easter eggs. So they killed them.
That's before Christianity. That's all the pagan religions. Before Catholic. But the only difference between, isn't like Catholics believe when you die, you go to heaven. And then Christians and like Adventists believe you're waiting for the second coming of Jesus to go to heaven. Isn't that something like that? Maybe that's my little cult school.
Would I want to be a Christian and wait? I was like, I want to go now.
Seventh-day Adventist is when you die, you are buried in the ground, and you don't go to heaven until the return of Jesus, and then he brings you all up together.
And he won't take you if you had any type of meat.
Or other stuff.
Other stuff.
And you better not have had any eggs.
Yeah.
Fuck the eggs.
I was thinking that. Now, back to Ed and Lorraine, I was like, you would think if they're truly fucking scam artists, and like I don't know if they are.
Judgment
like when I
time.
Looked at this, I don't know if they're actually like full on scam artists. I was like, I think some of this stuff that, because like look at it this way. Imagine you did. I don't believe they did 10,000 cases. Let's say 1,000. But it's like it's probably a lot like looking into UFOs and other things. It's like you look at so many, you're like, as you start to look at more and more, they become less and less interesting and cool. You're like, nothing. But there is some, you know, we have a handful of ones that are really fucking cool. that are weird, you know, just like crop circles. When we talked to Freddie Silva, he's like 95% are fucking bullshit and man-made, but there's 5% that were the nodes, you know, are fucking fused. Doesn't make any sense. I wonder if it's similar to that. It's like, yeah, they've done all these cases, but like a lot of them are fucking nothing burgers. You know what I mean? And like, and shitty and have a, you know, pretty simple, like, means to an end. So it's like, I don't know if necessarily they're full scams because they didn't, it's not like they were making bank.
They made fucking enormous amount of money off this. Well, this later, is what they lived
it,
off.
It was quite a bit. Well, I mean, all like the licensing stuff came later.
You know, but they still wrote books. They had fucking made for TV movies, all that type of stuff. They definitely benefited. Like they lived off this. This was their job. This was their fucking grift. This is what paid their bills.
So you're full grift. Do you think full grift?
It's a fact. Unless just they randomly choose
facts because
Amityville Horror is fact fake.
Fact? Really?
That's fact.
Yes. I thought it was just exaggerated.
No. It's literally the family claims to have had some weird stuff happen post buying a new house that there were six people or whatever murdered in it. And then I think it was the lawyer who they called being like, we want to get out of this fucking deal. The lawyer's like, why? Oh, there's weird stuff happening. Well, hold on. Let's work something out. The lawyer has been fucking planning to write a fucking horror book. He sits down with the family over a fucking couple bottles of wine and they make the entire fucking thing up. And then they bring in Ed and Lorraine. That's fact.
So I mean exaggerated in the sense that there people were murdered there before.
Yes, but it had not like people die in houses, get murdered in houses all the time. Not they five fucking exaggerate all the time.
Wasn't it five people?
Well, still, the murders didn't, like, that has nothing to do with them, the case afterwards, which made it famous, right? It was just a murder.
So the fact that they fled after, like, a month and all that was all made up?
Well, no.
The strange cold spots obsessed with the fireplace and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, they it literally...
Glowing red eyes?
After the Lutzes left the house, they corroborated with William Weber, who was hoping to sell books and movie rights about the Defoe murders. Weber later admitted publicly that he and Lutz sat around with a bottle of wine and invented the whole horror story.
Because he had a plan before this even. He sold the house knowing it had murders in it and he was writing a book on it.
Yes. It's,
that's only one of 10,000 cases though, Andrew.
Well, but that's kind of like, then you watch their fucking public access TV and stuff. Like it's literally, I mean, and then too, like you get into when they started making the movies, there was that lawsuit, right?
Which movie?
Conjuring?
The Conjuring movies, right? They call it, I think the lawsuit's literally called the Conjuring lawsuits. So basically a guy that help them write the books that go along with all their stories. Cause that's how these get out. Right. Like they go to Amityville, they go to Enfield, they go to all these places and then they fucking sell a book afterward of their experience. That's what they do. And then they go on a little fucking tour and you know, this is the book, this is the case. Everybody fucking loves it. They brought a guy along to help them write those books and like chart down the stories. Yes, exactly. Harold Brittle. They call it the Conjuring. Gerald Brittle comes after the fucking movie deals after. And I think it's like the daughter's, their daughter's husband who has the rights to all their media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's
so
a fucking dipshit.
Quickly looking at it. He wrote a book with them, the demonologist about the Warrens. And in there, I guess they talk about the events that would later become the Conjuring. So he sues because he's like, hey, this is based on my book. But the defense was, well, no, it's based on historical facts from the Warrens. It doesn't matter that it's in your book.
And then that's where he's like, wow.
No, he's like, well, I fucking wrote it with him.
Yeah. Well, and like, but with that story comes out, like who the Warrens are and actually as people. Right. And it ends up coming out that like Ed used to be a bus driver. And while he was a bus driver, he met a 14-year-old girl, moved her into the house, had fucking sexual relations with her for the next three decades. While with like Lorraine knew she had a bet. She lived with them and he'd just go stay with her randomly. Right. So she gets brought up in there. So we got Ed's a bit of a pedo, which is, you know, not great. That's and then demonic. She comes out and kind of like, well, it's even worse. Ed knocks her up at one point and they claim to be, you know, devout Catholics and makes her terminate the fucking pregnancy.
That's not very Catholic. That's murder.
That's not very Catholic at all.
You actually go straight to hell for that.
Totally, right? Yep. And then she shoots holes through a lot of the stories too, being like, yes, like it's fake. Like I think it's the Perron one, the woman in white. Was that one where she was the woman in white in pictures. She dressed up and like pretended
the
to
Perron,
be.
Perron family haunting?
Yeah. I think it's that one. I could be wrong. But so, you know, like that kind of stuff starts popping. You know, like this.
And I mean, so just like Ed Warren died before these allegations came out.
Yeah, he was born like what, like the 20s or something, wasn't he?
So like, old as fuck. This is Judith Penny, who's over 70, claims this after his death. But yeah, like both.
Well, she lived with him for like 30 years. They had a good, supposedly, like that. She stuck around that far into
adulthood than she was.
Yeah, she's like, I had nothing bad to say about him, and like it's kind of weird, but she sounds kind of like Stockholm syndrome-y, but.
Definitely a little bit of that if you're 14 when it starts.
But all this got uncovered during this lawsuit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So they grifted their way through it and then survived till they died.
And now we look at it now and we're kind of shitty and we're like, oh, they're grifters and they took advantage. And then you like, what's this? Like if this was 2025 and these people would be on fucking the Discovery Channel or fucking whatever, doing their own ghost hunting show. With handy cams, right? Yeah, like, I mean, and then nobody fucking gets after those guys, and you know that's all bullshit.
Like, what's the, like, grifting is, like, purposeful deceit for profit, right? Like, you were saying
that's
shit.
What?
Yeah.
But so that's what TV is in general.
Totally. Dude, that's reality
24-hour news cycle. That's what they're doing to you.
Yeah, it's, shit.
They'll just pump out news they know is fake, and they know that you're going to find out it's fake, and then they go,
who cares? We need news. It doesn't matter. It's news. We're saying
content.
But the thing with them is like, I get what you're saying. It's like, this is their job. So it's like, I imagine between good cases, you'd be like, well, this is a stinker. We have no money. Well, we got to fucking, you know, we're going to take some liberties.
Yeah. But and then you start lose making all credibility.
Money. You start making money and then it's like, well, whatever.
Boys, we should have grifted our way through podcasting. What were we thinking?
I know. Yeah, we fucked up.
Fucked up.
I mean, we kind of did. We kind of did. We kind of did.
We should have said the flat.
We didn't grift.
We grift for sure with people. We made money and we're fucking three talentless dipshits.
Yeah, but we never claimed anything was real.
That's true. Yeah.
That's fair.
We never made any stories up.
Yeah.
We're just storytellers.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's weird shit out there. And some of these cases, when you look at them, you're like, they're fucking weird, dude. And there's, but again, if you're looking at the bulk of their stuff, I would say like only a handful of the cases they're involved in are like, that's interesting. That's kind of weird. A lot of them can fucking bullshit like detectives going off.
But the thing is for me, it's like the one that you can't. And it's like one of the ones that we've talked about where I like to poo-poo a lot of shit. But this one, I just don't have any explanation. The Enfield haunting is like one of the most legit fucking cases that we've done.
It's terrible.
But they're fucking not even involved. They lied about it. Yeah. They tried to get their fucking meaty little paw, you know, fingers into that one. And the family told them to fucking kick rocks.
The Enfield poltergeist. Yeah.
Isn't
the movie The Poltergeist based on that movie?
Probably.
Well, I think that's where they got the idea from it, but it happened in England, right? And
Enfield, London, UK. Yep.
Yeah.
Janet Hodgson.
Yeah, that one's fucking crazy.
Janet's sister Morgan, bed starts shaking, furniture moved. Late 77, investigators from the Society for Physical Research document strange knocks, cold breezes, and Janet speaking in gravelly male voices.
Fuck.
And the Ed and Lorraine part is bullshit then. They just try to sneak in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like,
they were showing up to anything and everything.
Yeah, like 100%, dude. Right? That was their gimmick. Was their so they meal wanted ticket. To be involved, right?
It was their meal ticket.
And then that one was in the end, some people are like, that was super real, and some people said Janet was acting. That was the final thing. Like, well, either this is actually demonic or supernatural, or she was just a great actress.
I remember talking, like, she had some crazy fucking injuries, too, that we figured could really be self-inflicted. And I don't know.
I mean, all that stuff about the Warrens is insane. That at the end of their life, how good of a job they had, like, keeping it under wraps for 50 years.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's
because he died in 2006 or something, and she just died like late 2019. Yeah.
Right? Like, she's got to see she was around for the first movie because I remember there was they interviewed her and stuff.
The late 70-year-old fucking, you know, coming out being like, this happened after the fact when there's a $900 million lawsuit. There's no
$900 million.
Hold on. We also, if we're going to talk about have you looked into their morality clauses in these movies?
No.
No.
It's even worse. So the morality, like Lorraine's morality clause, and there's like neither her or Ed could be portrayed as pedophiles in any movie. No infidelity, no domestic abuse, anything like that. And it's like,
why would you have to put that in there?
100%. But is she like, it's like worded in there, being like, you can't show us as this. And it's like, obviously you're guilty of these things then.
They knew.
100%.
All right.
Right?
All right. Okay. That does look pretty fucking,
it's fucking crazy.
It legit says prohibited depictions. No portrayal of Ed or Lorraine Warren engaging in extramarital affairs, sexual misconduct, criminal acts, in parentheses, including sex with a minor. I was like, you could have just said criminal acts.
It's criminal.
And leave it. That,
it's definitely criminal.
Because you added that, now I'm like, okay, maybe that is true.
That's 100% sure.
Drug or alcohol abuse, which is why he never smokes in the movies, which is hilarious. Any behavior that would damage their reputation. That's hilarious.
Grifters.
Grifting ain't easy.
Grifting. Maybe some of the best to ever do it, though.
100%. I mean, they would be like celebrated today. Nobody would be bashing them.
It wouldn't be Giorgio Tsoukalos. It would be Ed and Lorraine Warren on the front page of History Channel.
Legit. Like,
I think Ancient Aliens is still going. I think it's on season what? Like 19?
Yeah, it's insane.
Crazy.
Those guys are
good. That's a fucking grift. That's a good gig.
Yeah, that's a good grift.
I think it started as like a curiosity and they're like, oh shit.
Dude, asking good questions.
Yeah.
And now you're just like,
now everything is out of control.
Yeah.
Now the Earth is not even real anymore. I don't think on that show.
That's fucking just crazy.
Pretty soon, ancient alien theorists are going to space. That's what's the next episode. It's going
to
be
going to Mars.
I think about them, and because I watch horror movies, like their impact on like the horror genre, insane,
huge,
undeniable. And their contributions to like the paranormal investigation world, huge. Their books, huge, but it's like whether or not you truly believe everything they said is like, you know.
Well, now into the, you know, they're shitty people that kind of you're like, all right.
I mean, they're dead, so
yeah, but
they were shitty.
They were shitty people.
Well, it's hard to say because, like I said, the interesting thing is for me, the one thing I'll say is like they had the fucking brittle or whatever $900 million lawsuit. If I came to you and be like, hey, I'm suing the Warrens.
How do you even have $900 million?
Well, he didn't sue the Warrens. He sued the studios.
The studios for the rights to the movies. So what the movies made, he wanted a chunk.
And there was a settlement.
Who was that? What was his name?
Gerald Brittle?
Gerald
Brittle. Why does he have an entitlement to all that money from the movies?
Because he wrote The Demonologist with them.
Their book.
Right, their book. He's
a demonologist, like
it includes
documents, stuff that they covered in The Conjuring,
like an anthology of all their
kind of cases. Yes, so he says because he's an author of that book, but the studio argues that it's like, well, it's based on the Warrens, like they have other writings that document these things and their historical events.
He's probably not going to win that.
Oh no, they settled.
For an undisclosed amount.
Probably gave him 500 grand or something.
What I'm saying is for $900 million, people are going to come out of the woodworks and say whatever the fuck you want them to say because it'd be like, they're dead. You know what I mean? They're dead. So it's like, fucking improve my life greatly by saying whatever. Sure.
Yeah, but like it's fact that this fucking chick lived with them. Like,
yes, that's fact. That is fact.
Forever. Her whole life.
That's what makes them shitty people.
Yep.
You want to lie about ghost stories? Sure. The fact that you're fucking pedos, that's pretty shitty.
Hold on. Did they really have a daughter or was it
they had a daughter and then they also had this fucking pain chick that lived with them.
Yeah. That's kind of weird.
Super weird.
Is she the same age as the daughter?
I don't know. Ed met her. Ed was like 35 and she was 15, which is like probably the same age Jeremy Seinfeld was when he met his wife. So. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's, yeah. That's,
I think Seinfeld was
that's another
was like
weird one.
Seinfeld was like 32 and she was older. I think she was 16 or 17, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's a fucking weird one.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
It's not like he met her in a bar that's supposed to be 21 or over and... You know,
and I don't think he met her at season one of Seinfeld, like just getting started. He's like peak, like season five. Four, season five. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, what?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, like, he's 30. He's raking in money and he can get any girl in the world, but he's got to choose.
All time already.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're fishing high school girls.
Somehow he skipped through that one though.
I don't understand how that. That's always that? Like a shock whenever that gets brought up.
Like, I didn't know that until just a handful of years ago.
When you know what I'll say about Seinfeld is like huge Seinfeld show fan, love his work. But I'm like, when you see an interview with him not being funny, I find him to be a fucking pompous asshole.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. When he's trying to be funny, he comes off very pompous.
Yeah.
I think that's why the show works so well. They're all fucking.
They're all terrible people. And that's why they go to jail in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
It finally catches up with them.
But it's interesting and fun to talk about them on Spooktober and go give the Conjurings a watch. The new one sucks. I haven't seen the new one.
I think there's one, two.
I've never seen any of them.
There's a prequel and then there's two more, right? Yeah.
Well, there's like the nun one. There's the
one with the nuns. That's scary.
Well, that's based off one of a real thing where they fucking
nuns are
saw
way scarier than demons, man.
Dude, nuns are fucking scary, dude.
Yeah. You know who's more scary? Priests. If it was a priest.
Oh, yeah. That
like demon again. Priest? You're like, oh, dude.
You know what? It's people who don't fuck their whole life are the worst people. You know? It gets all built up in there and then they start doing terrible shit.
Who would have thought? I fucking go a week and I'm getting grumpy.
A week? Yeah.
I get it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
a week.
What I mean. Like, I get it.
Push that to a month, 6 months.
Yeah.
You're going to think about killing someone, I think.
That'd be fucking crazy. What a fucking crazy thing to just be like, hey, it's like one of the three greatest things in the world. And I'm just not going to do it because I like this imaginary guy up in the sky.
I read this
book.
He
told me not to. Yeah.
Can't do that.
Written a long time ago.
They don't really, right? Like they're...
There was one point where the Catholic Church shifted to abstinence. Because I think back in the day, the priests were fucking raw star.
That's a long time ago.
No, dude. I'm talking like way back. Catholic priests were fucking... They were like celebrities.
They're like the cult
people
leaders.
Loved them.
Fucking everyone's
wives.
They
were throwing pussy at them, left, right, and center. And then the church had to like rail it back because they're like pounding way too much. They were doing too. They were cleaning up way too well.
Yeah, celebrity, right? If you are closest to God, you're a celebrity, and just like pro athletes and stuff, you're getting the most puss, for sure.
Yeah, that was that's legit. And so then they like the abstinence came later.
You put the priest up on the pedestal.
Yeah,
fucking everyone.
Yeah. And then they. They got, they're like, no more ladies. And they're like, boys?
Yeah, but that's the way, like, could you imagine, like, that's was, think about the priest. He would be all like fucking, you know, you're smashing that much. You'd be the happiest, easy go, little
charismatic.
Light. He'd be light. Hey, things wouldn't be hanging low. You'd be like, I'm empty. I'm happy. I'm good.
Be a nicer person.
How are you today, Father?
Father.
Fucking fantastic. How dare you, boy?
Yeah, no wonder.
Anyways, let's wrap this up. We're going to go a little unhinged after here, but.
And then things got unhinged on their
I think, we got a little unhinged at the end there. Warren's grifting.
Just at the end. Yeah.
And did some questionable things throughout their career. But hey, it made some good movies in the end. So at least we got something out
worth
of it.
All
right. Next week is going to be the Halloween special, Spooktober special. If you were a fan of Cosmic Channels, you're like, fuck, I haven't been able to tell my story. Now's your chance. We're going to take a few stories. Going to tell some urban legends. No hook hands, I promise. There'll be no stories with hook hands.
Hook fingers.
That's a great idea, actually. I'm going to change my story right now. So that'll be next Monday. Was that 27th?
Yeah.
7:30 on YouTube. If you're not even watching, you can just call. The numbers in the episode
I'll
description.
I'll be streaming elsewhere next week too. I'll have it all
set up. Pumping it out. And yeah, here we go. It's fun. Anything else?
No, that's all. Let's get done, Hinge.
Are we doing our, we gotta come up with a new line. We keep the sign off is not, we don't got
all it. Alright, yeah. Well, for now, keep those eyes on the skies. Thank you.
football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.